4 years later, nothing's changed. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 40. The nation is once again approaching that time where people will turn to the American tradition of gearing up for the months-long election day. People from all walks of life, rich and poor, young and old, the disenfranchised, the entitled, even many of them citizens, will turn out for weeks on end to vote for the candidate of their choice for President of the United States and other assorted federal and state office hopefuls. Some will vote in person, even using identification to prove they are legally entitled to vote, while some will use mail-in ballots, and others will just fill out a ballot dropped off at their apartment, or available at the nearby 7-Eleven. By next year, we may not even need to leave our home, residence, or place of occupancy. We will just vote online like they do for America's Got Talent. Of course, this is sarcasm, which I know is not a spiritual gift, yet, the serious issue facing America only includes our corrupted voting experience, and it's certainly not our only problem. It's not even our biggest problem. No, that would be the cliff drop of her social standing. Few places, at least in the Western world, have offered such a thorough abdication of moral rectitude as America has managed to do, on such a mind-numbing scale. I know 65% or more of my regular readers remember a different America. There is no need to list the long line of onerous examples that made her a failed state. Instead, I think we should look at how the American church has lost the plot. I still believe the gates of hell will not prevail against her, but I have to wonder why we are willing to allow any admixture into our mission and message. You see, we know a few things, because we've seen a few things. We can believe our lying eyes. So let's be honest. The ruling elite are counting on it to all go according to plan, again, and this is very bad news. If you are wondering if we can expect the kind of election in 2024 that we experienced in 2020, then hear what Doug Wilson, Pictured, has to say about that in his recent blog and moblog channel on YouTube, Warning Strong, Divisive Language Ahead, where he pithily explains, we know that the 2024 election is going to be interfered with in 2024 because it is being interfered with now. And, with everybody watching, including you, and especially including you, if you are willing to watch the leading opposition candidate arrested while the campaign was already in progress on charges that would send a tree sloth into manic hysterics, and you are also going to have the nickel-plated effrontery to pretend that all of this was just the result of the wheels of blind justice grinding away, then I'm going to quietly assume that you are really stupid or really evil, and quite possibly both. Run on sentences and hyperbolic characterizations of those Americans lacking discernment aside, his analysis is essentially unassailable. Election engineering is for all intents and purposes, out in the open now. Looking at the hard numbers, here is what we know. In 2016, after then Republican nominee Donald Trump ran against Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, the United States Election Project announced that nearly 139 million citizens cast their ballots for their chosen candidate. By the sheer number, that's not a bad turnout. In fact, 2016 set a record for the all-time highest number of voters in U.S. history. This according to PopSugar.com of all places. In 2020, the total voter count, according to USA Today, was 159 million. One possible reason for 20 million inches new voters can be spotted in this factoid, again, from PopSugar.com. The Washington Post reported that at least 101.9 million people voted through mail-in ballots or at early polling stations in their states. That's 73% of the total votes cast in 2016. Mail-in ballots were originally sold to the electorate as a way to allow military servicemen and women on deployment, and for citizens who were incapable of accessing the polling places in their communities. So for most voters, legitimate or otherwise, who have seriously questioned the COVID pandemic narratives, and who were once convinced Mr. Biden was a family man who promised he would bring unity to America, etc., etc., may find the same sales pitch not as compelling this next time around. This same Mr. Biden has done more than anyone to promote homosexuality, transgenderism, and pedophilia, as any leader of the free world should be allowed to without censure and denunciation. He and his Justice Department routinely engage in free speech violation, intimidation, and overt threats to families and family values he once campaigned on. If this seems hyperbolic, you're welcome to do what I do. Google it. No one can really deny that something is just not right about so much in the world today, especially in America. So let's go back and again, pick up the plot. I believe we are living in a crucial time in America, literally. There is too much unease, if not outright unrest, we see in all the chatter on social media, and the news media for the church, who has every right and reason to, not to be speaking into our rotting culture. So, why not? The sense I have is this. Too many pulpits are not only quiet about these issues, but among our church leadership and influencers, there are those who, frankly, may be preaching and teaching some other doctrine. Since they, for whatever reason, are incorporating secular and cultural tropes and ideas. Moreover, I'm not alone in holding this opinion. Well-known pastor and national leader, Dutch Sheets, in a recent conference in early August 2023, was quoted as saying that only 14% of pastors are fully engaged in society, according to a recent Barna research poll. The figures may actually be much less. In the survey, Barna asked the respondents what would they like to hear from the pulpit. 91% the stance on abortion, 86% religious liberty and persecution, 85% on poverty, 83% cultural and moral restoration, 82% on sexual identity, 77% on the Christian heritage, 73% on church and governance, 72% Islam's core beliefs. Again, putting it another way, 86% of pastors do not generally address these very issues and so, remain silent. Another Barna research study, 2017, revealed that only 9% of conservative pastors strongly support and promote Christian schooling. Another 21% will support Christian schools and even place their own children in them, while failing to encourage their church families to do the same. The idea that believing Christians ought not to discuss and engage on the very things that are corrupting our own children is too burdensome to ignore any longer. But wanting to conclude on a positive note, I will remind these same pastors and all who read this, while God will not be mocked, He will forgive us, and equip us for what lies ahead. A long, but righteous fight for the souls of our families, for our communities, and our country. We can do nothing less. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Cor. 10:3-5. Cover photo. Yasser Mutwakil on Unsplash.